Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 56 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. Today's Friday, July 20th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Residents of Sitka could vote this fall on whether to build a dock for large cruise ships near downtown. Right now, visitors arriving aboard such vessels are ferried to shore on smaller boats. Next week, the Sitka Assembly will consider whether to ask voters if they want a dock in the area behind Centennial Hall. The idea is more to get a sense of whether Sitkans want the city to pursue funding for a downtown dock. The proposition, as written, says the dock would berth no more than two cruise ships. It also says the effort would help reduce local fees and harbor rates. Those in favor of the dock hope it will bring more money into the community. Those against the dock are concerned it could spoil Sitka's downtown. But the arguments are more complicated. A downtown dock has been a complicated and controversial topic in Sitka for many years. In the first of two reports, KCAW's Ed Ronco looks at declining cruise traffic and what it means for Sitka.
A navy blue Holland America ship is anchored in Sitka Sound. Passengers are combing through downtown stores, and on this Thursday afternoon, I'm walking along Sitka's main drag, Lincoln Street. I'm joined by Tanya Ryu. She runs the Sitka Convention and Visitors Bureau. What do you see when you look around?
I see a lot less people for a cruise day than what we used to see downtown. And I see some empty storefronts and a lot of sale signs in the window, like discount sale signs, liquidating. And some shops are actually, they have goods in them, but they're closed right now, even though it's still early afternoon.
This scene was a little different 4 years ago when nearly 290,000 passengers came to Sitka on cruise ships. This year, 106,000 people are expected to arrive that way. It's a little more than a third as many people, and it is the lowest number in at least 15 years.
By nature, I'm always very optimistic. but the reality of things right now is that people are very worried, and I feel like there's cause for that. There's valid cause for concern.
We stop for a minute in front of an empty store at the corner of Lincoln and American Streets. A sign behind the building reads, "Parking for Colin Only." That is Colin Herforth, but he's not parking there anymore. He and his wife, Christy Jones, ran the Fairweather Gallery and Gifts from this location for 17 years. But this year, they moved the business to Juneau.
When we got the cruise ship calendar last fall for this coming season, and we saw that it was down again further, somewhere around 100,000 tourists, visitors for cruise ships, versus a million in Juneau, it seemed like, well, how can we not do this?
Still, Herforth says it was a difficult decision, and one that has confused a few people.
Oh, have you moved to Juneau? Are you in Juneau now? Are you living in Juneau? And adamantly, I tell everybody, absolutely not. Sitka's my home. Sitka's been my home for a long time. I'm well-rooted here, and I have no desire to leave this community. And that was part of the heartbreak, the difficulty in deciding to take our business elsewhere.
The studio portion of Fairweather will remain in Sitka, too. But moving the store to Juneau appears to be paying off.
We're doing generally just about every day, not 7 days a week, but we're doing 5 days a week what was our absolute best days over here in the past, which would only be, I don't know, a handful, half a dozen during the course of the summer.
Herforth, though, is torn on the issue of a dock. Would it help to have more visitors coming through town? Absolutely, he says. Is a dock the way to do it? It's part of it, he says, but not a silver bullet. The case for a dock goes like this. If it was easier for passengers to get on and off the boat, more of them would spend more time on shore, and therefore more time shopping. That translates to more money for local businesses, and here's where the city comes in, more sales tax revenues for municipal government. The case against a dock includes the worry that downtown would be overwhelmed, or that more businesses would close up in the off-season, leaving downtown deserted.
You know, I've tried to stay open in Sitka. One winter.
Marcus Hernandez owns the Sitka Fur Gallery. The store is closed during the off-season. He says the winter he tried to stay open, he did not have enough sales to make it worthwhile.
If I did, I would. you know, but we're an Alaskan company. You know, I pay my taxes. I have a home here in Sitka, and I own several properties in Sitka. You know, again, I love Sitka. If I could be here, I would.
The Fur Gallery also has other locations, including Ketchikan, and that is where Hernandez meets customers who chose not to get off the boat in Sitka.
And the amount of people that have told us that they did not get off the boat, quite a few. I mean, it's a problem. If you're handicapped, if you don't like the lightering, if it makes you nervous, I mean, give someone a reason not to get offshore and they'll stay on board.
So, could a dock do as its proponents hope and bring more people off the ships for a longer period of time? Not every passenger thinks so. We'll hear from them in the next part of this report. In Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
You can hear part two of this story on Monday. This Saturday is Sitka's answer to Seward's renowned Mount Marathon race. Starting at 9 a.m., 75 competitors will make their way from sea level in downtown Sitka to the picnic area on Harbor Mountain in the 19th annual Alpine Adventure Run. The event covers 7.5 miles over rough trail and includes a climb of over 2,000 feet. KCAW contributing reporter Diana Saverin recently went on a training run along the race route with Charles Horan, who helped found the event with his wife and son.
The Alpine Adventure Run starts, innocently enough, on flat pavement, but it doesn't take long for the boardwalk-lined, muddy trail to start caking runners' calves with dirt.
You think you've done all the uphill, but you haven't. Just getting out in the wilderness, getting up in the woods in the Alpine, it is so beautiful and it's so close and you can get there fast if you run. And that's kind of exciting.
Charles Horan has run the race about half the times it has gone up and run along this trail, he estimates, maybe 576 times.
The first few years, it was my son and these crazy runners. I had no desire really to do it. And then I watched people do it after a while. I said, well, yeah, I could do that, I guess. And just rolled off the couch one day and did it. And I said, well, that wasn't so bad. And then I slowly got hooked.
The race started in 1994 when Josh Horan, Charles' son, organized it as an Eagle Scout project for 15 runners. Now Charles' wife, Christine, serves as race director. And Charles is just hooked.
Yeah, we'll just get to dig in and enjoy it. Kind of like an ice cream sundae. Oh, are we having fun? If it got any better than this, we get nervous.
This year, after navigating up the trail and over the zigzagging stairs towards the horizon of the ridge, runners arrive in the Alpine to what Charles describes as the psychological starting line of the race. This year, just as in 2008, runners will encounter snow. Lots of snow.
Some people are scared. They're scared about the snow, the ice, and the rain, and the sleet, and the blinding blizzard conditions that drives people mad.
Chris Horan says snow may be to the advantage of some runners.
There is snow, and runners have actually been having fun up there running in it. Most comments I receive back are many don't want it to all disappear because they feel like they're running faster. Runners could choose to sit on their bums and slide down if that's what they choose to do. So you can slide.
The race appeals to the local community and also draws runners from around the state. Chris says runners will be coming from Juneau, Wasilla, and Fairbanks, as well as some other states. Whether runners are looking to finish first or just finish at all, the Alpine Adventure Run provides the challenge they need. Charles remembers some runners who have lost 50 to 85 pounds using this race as their goal. Just surviving is a worthy goal.
There's a few disappointments in this run. That hill is one of them. Because you have just experienced the thrill going downhill. Free breath, you might say. Free oxygen delivered straight to your muscles. Soon to be robbed. You'll be sucking wind.
In Sitka, this is Diana Saverin.
The Alpine Adventure Run starts at 9 a.m. Saturday and leaves from the rear parking lot of St. Gregory's Church on Lincoln Street. A potluck for runners, families, and friends will be held at the picnic shelter on Harbor Mountain after the race. Parking is limited on the mountain, and spectators are urged to park below the third gate and walk to the finish line. A nonpartisan group formed in 1999 to fight a huge oil merger in Alaska is speaking in support of the Senate's bipartisan coalition. Leaders of Backbone plan to hold a news conference next week in Anchorage to support the coalition, which Backbone says has a record of putting Alaska first. This comes after some Republicans, including the governor, expressed a desire to break up the current coalition. Malcolm Roberts is with Backbone. He says Alaska is at risk of becoming the owned state rather than an owner state. He says the coalition has shown courage and reflected the spirit of Alaska, which he says isn't partisan. Roberts says Backbone doesn't plan to register as an independent expenditure group, and he's not sure yet what role it might play in the elections. Sitka's Senator Republican Bert Stedman has been an influential member of the bipartisan coalition in the Senate. A crowd turned out yesterday to celebrate the centennial of the Alaska Governor's Mansion with a line of people waiting to tour the first floor. The mansion underwent a recent $2 million renovation aimed at preserving it and sprucing it up for its 100th anniversary. Work included peeling away paint, repairing stucco, and resurfacing columns. Governor Sean Parnell's office said all former governors and their families were invited. Former governors Bill Sheffield and Frank Murkowski attended, as did former State Senator Clark Greening, who told stories about being at the house as a youngster while his grandfather, Ernest Greening, was governor. Ernest Greening served from 1939 to 1953. Parnell is the 20th different governor to live in the house. Wally Hickel and Bill Egan each held the office on two separate occasions. Sun weather forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander calls for mostly cloudy skies, scattered showers diminishing this morning, highs 62 to 70. Northeast winds 5 miles per hour shifting to the northwest this afternoon. Tomorrow, cloudy, chance of rain, highs 59 to 65. West winds 10 miles per hour shifting to the south tomorrow afternoon. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka.